This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Well, hey, it's the Hump Show. We are, well, not yet halfway through the work week, but we will be. Man, does it feel like it's moving faster this week? I think because there's so much happening. It is one hectic week. It'd be a hectic week even with a full-time producer, which we don't have, though Manny is doing a terrific job. Thank you, Manny. Back with us for the rest of the week. So yeah, it's pretty nutso. A little bit cray, as the kids say, but I should never say ever. It is our hump show, middle show of the work week. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, and I would love to hear from you. I didn't have a chance with Olympics and baseball trade deadline and everything else going on. Working on an extra feature with Westwood One this week. It's called Today in Women's Sports, which of course is all about Simone Biles and the U.S. women's gymnastics team. I told you they would be stealing the spotlight and taking the attention away from the men within 24 hours, which they have absolutely done. Some really cool moments for them on their way to restoring the Americans and USA Gymnastics as the premier nation in this particular sport. But it had been a couple Olympics, right? And so it's neat to be able to see them. They called it their redemption tour, and now here they are back on top. So we will hear from each of them, including 16-year-old Hesley Rivera, who did not compete in the all-around or the team all-around. So she was not part of any of the events, but of course has been part of their training and had an opportunity to see how these returnees, how these two-time, in some case three- and four-time Olympians are able to not only navigate the pressures and the attention, but also to see how they train and to see how they keep their performances at elite levels, especially as Simone Biles has been doing it for so long. So yeah, really neat to watch. In fact, NBC is re-airing the women's gymnastics team final right now, if you wanted to turn it on in the background, of course, in the background. I know you don't want to miss anything that we've got going on in the next 4 hours. So all that to say, we'll talk gymnastics and Jordan, Simone, Suni, Jade, and Hesley, who's so cute. There's so many A-listers in the arena. It was pretty incredible. They couldn't even get to them all. NBC had to show them in different breaks in the action and coming out of different commercial breaks because they couldn't even get to them all. And I dare say they were still finding them even as the competition was unfolding. So lots of good stuff. Big celebration with the families of these team members. Of course, their coaches who've worked so hard. And just amazing highlights for each of them. And it wasn't easy. There were a couple of falls. Jordan Childs fell as she was doing her mount onto the balance beam. I know she was really disappointed. The balance beam routine for Simone Biles was terrific because it's so complicated, but she also had a couple of moments that she wasn't thrilled about. Stepped out of bounds on her floor routine and rolled her eyes mid-routine. But she's so experienced, and again, so much of her routines are more difficult than what anybody else in the world even tries most of the time, that she can avoid a few mistakes here or there. But I love that their standards are so high. So congratulations again to them, to Simone, who now has 8 Olympic medals, most by any U.S. gymnast all time. And we'll hear from her as well as the rest of the team. Online at A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page too. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Hopefully you enjoyed the women's competition as much as we did the men's, since it was amazing and kind of a huge surprise just 24 hours ago. So that's awesome. And then getting into some of the other sports, how about, you want a surprise? How about the U.S. men's soccer team? This is the U23 team. It's a team of, we'll call them more up-and-comers than what is the team that will see, we hope, let's hope, for the World Cup and getting to their knockout stage in 2026. But this particular team is a lot of guys who are still trying to find their way and aren't even playing on pro teams yet in some cases. And yet here they are into the knockout stage themselves, into the quarterfinals of the Olympics for the first time since 2000. So that's pretty amazing. I will just state again that it kind of stinks that we're having such a hard time finding any post-event audio from a lot of these different sports. We do have gymnastics tonight like we did last night with the men, but it's become such a huge challenge, even for outlets that are used to having access to athletes and to coaches to come up with any type of audio. So NBC's got a pretty tight hold on it. A death grip, if you will, but that's what they pay for, so that's their prerogative. But yeah, tennis, we had just talked about it with Christopher Clary, who joined us from Paris. Oh, goodness, I guess it was about 21 hours ago. He was terrific. And you know what's really funny, too? After we talked to him, he left his home in Paris, and he went to the tennis venue, Roland Garros, and he had a video of his chosen method of commuting. He posted a video from his bicycle. He was using his bicycle to ride to the tennis venue. So that was kind of fun. But yeah, good stuff with him. So right after we talked to him, then lots of dramatic moments on the tennis courts too. So Rafael Nadal and Carlos Alcaraz, as they've been dubbed Nadalcaraz. I have to be careful how I say that. Nadalcaraz, they moved into the next round of the men's doubles competition. So that was really cool to see. Coco Gauff, though, she ended up falling out of the singles bracket and had a bit of a meltdown and over a call that she didn't like and was in tears. And so it was a tough way for her to exit, especially when she was really excited to be part of these games for Team USA. Andy Murray is still alive as well in doubles, and he celebrated like he had, I mean, it looked like he'd won another Grand Slam. It was pretty incredible, he and his partner. So a lot there. In basketball, I guess at least these groups of 3x3 teams that the Americans have fielded, both men and women, they're starting slow. They've got plenty of room for improvement, but the bar is relatively low. Either that or we're behind other nations in this particular version of basketball. But since I think it's a lot of nations who are just trying to generate their programs, I don't know that that is the case. And certainly they have some room to make up ground. But both men's and women's teams losing on Tuesday in France. So there's a lot that we can get to. Really excited about the swimming as well. Goodness. I even though the swimming is not live in prime time when we're watching it, so because of the 6-hour time difference, it's obviously been completed hours beforehand. And sometimes I know the results. Definitely knew the results of the gymnastics before I had a chance to watch them in this prime time because I was sleeping. But I didn't know the results of the swimming. And even though it wasn't live, I was cheering. Of course, the results were already done and I could have looked them up on my phone, but I was cheering for the different Americans that were in the pool. So, I don't mind if it's tape delayed, even if sometimes I do know the outcomes. I still get really into it and just so proud of our athletes. And people have asked me how I can watch after how the opening ceremonies went. And I'll say the same thing to you that I've said to people who've asked me in my own personal life about the opening ceremonies. I turned them on for 30 seconds. I realized that they weren't appealing to me and I probably wasn't the target audience, and I turned them off. So I only watched for about 30 seconds and realized, yeah, not my form of entertainment. And I ended up watching Celine Dion on YouTube the next day because she was the part that I really wanted to see. But even if those opening ceremonies offended you or upset you, that's certainly not an uncommon response after Friday's ceremonies. However, And there were a lot of people that loved them too. Christopher Clary, he was raving about the creativity and the diversity of them. So a lot of people that enjoyed them as well. But whatever you thought of them, the athletes had nothing to do with them. And so people have gotten upset at me because I'm still excited about the Olympics and I'm a red, white, and blue shill. But the athletes, they have trained for years and years, in some cases decades, to have these opportunities. And to see how they perform on this global stage with a spotlight and with so much on the line is very impressive to me. And for heaven's sakes, we even saw a gymnast, she's Brazilian, in her warm-ups, she fell off of the uneven bars. And when she landed on her back with such force, one of her legs folded over and smashed her in the face, and she competed with a bloody nose. She did a James McCann impression, competing with a bloody nose and barely could see out of one of her eyes because it was nearly swollen shut. And so these athletes are tough and they're tenacious and they've trained for years, and the disappointment for them when they don't do well, it's so palpable because you just get one shot at it. And same thing when it's the other way around, and it's this incredible joy and euphoria, crazy celebrations when everything falls into place perfectly, especially in the team events. It's phenomenal when it all comes together and you and your teammates can celebrate as a group. And we saw that with the men's gymnastics team. We've seen it now with rugby, which is pretty incredible. U.S. making some headway in the sport of rugby in these Olympics. And we definitely saw it with the women's team tonight as well. So I'm all in, excited for the red, white, and blue, and am cheering in my living room. My husband was even watching gymnastics, so he was enjoying it as well. We both have routine wows and woes and ah as we're watching. And so, yeah, even though we know it's still terrific, I will admit it is kind of fun too to have some of the live events that take place even while we're here on the air. At A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, 855-212-4227. If you would like to weigh in about the baseball trade deadline, would love to hear from you. As a matter of fact, we're going to talk trade deadline with Maury Brown, who is a contributor and a longtime baseball insider for Forbes now. He's worked for a bunch of different outlets in the past, but currently with Forbes, and we'll ask him to react to the various moves that we saw, including the ones that happened late and were maybe, just maybe, a bit of a surprise. And I am thinking right now about the Dodgers trading for Jack Flaherty. Because what was the report slash rumor slash speculation that we heard 24 hours ago? It's that the Yankees were closing in on a trade for Jack Flaherty. I don't know if they got smacked in the face. I'm not sure that is why they didn't get this deal done. But we'll ask Maury Brown, who I say is tracking all of these various deals. And so you had both Dodgers and Padres in the NL West make moves for arms. Maybe the best pitcher, starting pitcher available, ends up with the Dodgers. But how about the best reliever available in Tanner Scott, who ends up with the San Diego Padres? And then playing in front of a sold-out crowd in San Diego, these two rivals, they played into extra innings. So really impressive there as well to see the crowd get so into it and the electricity at Petco Park. And they're not separated by all that much in the standings either now when it's full speed ahead and go time. So we'll talk about those two teams. How about the Pirates adding pieces at the deadline? This is not what fans are used to, right? But pretty impressive to see that not only are they sticking in the race and not getting rid of pieces like maybe they would have done in the past, but they're actually making moves to add to their lineup and bolster the offense, which I think is such an encouragement to Pirates fans everywhere.
And Livy Dunn.
I hope that it works. Right, and maybe, just maybe, it might be too much to to speculate about that now, but maybe this is just the beginning and the Pirates are working toward being a competitor because they want to keep Paul Skeens, because they don't want to have Skeens go elsewhere. They want to be able to keep him because they found him. He's theirs. The fans are so into it every time he pitches. Not just that, but he's worth the price of admission anywhere the Pirates go right now. So I love the idea that maybe they are going to try a new approach when it comes to competing, when it comes to staying in the races. Obviously, these different wild cards, they make such a huge difference with so many different teams involved, right? So I hope Pirates fans are encouraged. That makes me happy. I love PNC Park, and I felt bad for Pirates fans for so many years. So we'll see if this signals a change in philosophy for that franchise. Of course, a bunch of other moves around Major League Baseball. What were the Rays doing? It's kind of odd, right, to see how many trades they made without getting a ton of prospects, well, high-quality prospects or equity in return. And yet, what did we find out on Wednesday? Wait, is it Wednesday? Tuesday. They all blend together. What did we find out on Tuesday? Well, it's full speed ahead for their brand new stadium. They got the government funding. It's a $1.3 billion proposal, a $1.3 billion project that would keep the Rays in Central Florida for the next 30 years. Then why get rid of all these pieces? That is the part that I don't quite understand. So these are a lot of different questions that I will ask of Mari Brown when he joins us at the top of the hour, midnight Pacific time. So yeah, Dodgers at a starter, but is there a red flag? There's now some rumblings about Jack Flaherty. Why were the Rays so active? What about the Pirates as buyers? And just the implications after this deadline, looking ahead through the rest of the regular season. So a lot to do, and since it is the Hump Show, Manny, do you remember what special feature we include on the Hump Show?
Yeah, we have a AAA. Ask Amy Anything.
AAA. I'm not sure anyone's ever called it that before. Yes, it is Ask Amy Anything. So it's an opportunity for you to earn some major brownie points here. If you can go back, I'll even log you into our show social media. If you can go back and find the bright orange box with the yellow thought bubble that says Ask Amy, and you can post that on our show Twix and on our Facebook page, we'll allow peeps to weigh in. Now, I 2 weeks ago asked the questions of myself. Essentially, I went through and just kind of answered on the fly what I saw on social. Last week, did allow Ryan to ask some questions, and he seemed to enjoy it. But the last time you and I did Ask Amy Anything together, goodness, you had written all the questions down. You covered an entire sheet with your handwriting, and you were really sense of urgency that you brought to the table. Do you feel like you're up for the challenge? I know you told me you got a ton of sleep on Tuesday.
Yeah, I finally slept. That was nice. Perhaps overslept, but I digress. I definitely don't want to be underprepared. How about that? We'll just leave it at
that. That's good. I like it. There's no such thing as being overprepared. You never know what might go wrong. Like, for instance, a CrowdStrike Microsoft crash that forces you to talk through commercials. So you never know what might go wrong, which means it's always important to have more material even than you think you might use. It's kind of funny, and I put this out there on Twix. I was thinking about what happened a year ago today, and what happened is that I met my future in-laws for the first time. I was extremely nervous. Really nervous. And I just decided I was going to try to go in there and be myself and talk to everyone. And I'd asked my future hubs a bunch of questions about different members of his family and wanting to connect with them, find out what we had in common. So I did. Walked into the house. Thankfully, his parents got up and greeted me first and gave me hugs right away and welcomed him as part of the family. And that really set the tone for the other dozen people. But anyway, I remember that I talked for 8 hours straight. 8 hours. Really, the only breaks were when I went to use the restroom or when we had food stuffed in our faces because we did have lunch. So It was a long time. I was exhausted. Both Bob and I were exhausted when we got done and were on our way back to the Houston area. And I remember as I was posting that earlier thinking, whoa, 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 wait a minute, wait a minute. That is double the number of hours that I spend on the air here. So yes, you can make all the jokes that you like, but I did have to talk for 8 hours just to prove that I was prepared for this family meeting. I had to be able to hold my own. Yeah, that was a year ago today. Man, what a difference a year makes. But I suppose if I need to, I could talk for 8 hours. I've got that much material. First of all, you don't want me to. I might be delirious by hour number six. And second of all, I know that the company would probably like to get some other voices in here. So we will not do 8 hours, but it is possible. It is always an option if something goes horribly wrong. So yes, online, either of our social media sites, we're going to put a post up so that we can take your questions for Ask Amy Anything. So you can send those as you see the post go up. Glad to have you with us. 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Here's Amy Lawrence.
It is the Hump Show, middle show of the work week. Man, it's been busy. I said to my husband a couple hours ago, I forgot how crazy the Olympics are. These 2 weeks where it's just nonstop events. And in the evenings, if you're not going to watch them live during the daytime, like my mom, she was watching the Olympics, the gymnastics live because they ordered Peacock for a month. If you're not going to do it live during the workday, if you've got other obligations, well, then the prime time is terrific. However, I did notice, and this was something that I should have expected, but compared to some of the other primetime broadcasts, even earlier this week, there were so many more commercials because of Simone Biles, because of the star power that she and her teammates bring to the table. And the celebrities, the A-listers inside the arena, they couldn't even get to them all. For instance, Michael Phelps is there with his family and he's taping, he's on his phone, he's recording the different Simone routines. Nicole Kidman is there. Natalie Portman is there, living and dying with every twist and every turn and every routine. Spike Lee was there, of course. Trying to think of some of the others. I think I saw Snoop Dogg in there again. Jason Kelsey and his wife, they were sitting right on the front row in their section. And I'm sure other names, Bill Gates was there too. Other names will come to me. But yeah, this was a hot ticket. It was a great atmosphere. At one point, you even had some of the other gymnasts cheering for Simone Biles, considering her story. But it's not just her who had to come back from, in her case, it was mental health and it was about regaining confidence and being sure that she wanted to continue doing this. In the case of Suni Lee, she went to Auburn following her gold medal in the all-around, going back to the Tokyo Games in 21. But she had to cut short her second season as a member of the Tigers because she was dealing with very serious kidney issues. And so it took her a long time, months, to be able to get to the point where she was healthy enough, then had to work her way back and work her way back. And so there's a lot of different comeback stories here. And this group had dubbed themselves or had dubbed this Olympics their redemption tour for them because they didn't have Simone for the bulk of the competition in Tokyo because they settled, quote unquote, for silver. And it's essentially the same group, adding Hesley Rivera to it. So yeah, it was really neat to see. They started out on vault. As it turns out, Jade Carey wasn't feeling well, which is maybe why she didn't do so well in the floor exercise during qualifying. Remember, she's the reigning Olympic champion in floor exercise, but had a couple of pretty bad falls and was really disappointed. Apparently, she and her father, who's her coach, are both dealing with some type of illness, so both feeling under the weather. So the only event that she competed in was the vault. But the Americans were up first, and she and Simone both had very difficult vaults. They both did really well. And so it was an impressive way to start with the trio that was on vault. They were able to kind of set the tone right away. And then they moved on to the uneven bars, and Suni Lee just nailed that routine. It was amazing. Her joy. It was Suni who had her feet touch the mat as she was getting down to the lower bar, and she was not centered anymore, and she was uneven on the uneven bars. She was off center, and so she had to work her way back. So that was interesting to kind of see that progression, how she saved the routine. Jordan and Suni and Simone did all three of the other rotations. So Jade only did vault, and the three of them, they did the rest of them together. The balance beam was interesting because Jordan Childs, she was the very first one up. And as she did her catapult up onto the balance beam, she fell. And right away was able to get back up on the beam and save the routine. But obviously, she was really disappointed. Simone's routine is so difficult that even though she had a couple of breaks in form, she did really well. But the one that was terrific was, again, Suni Lee. She just nailed it and was so thrilled, celebrating. So yeah, it's kind of neat to see them. Similar to what the men did last night when they would finish a routine and the entire team would celebrate and the athlete himself would jump around and fist pump and yell. I mean, that's what was happening with the women. Jordan and Simone and Suni, the second they were done with these routines, if they were up to their standards, not that they ever are perfect, I think they would be the first to tell you. I heard a comment from Simone about how much room they have to improve, right, coming into these Olympics, and yet we're so dazzled by what they do. But when they nailed a routine and they knew that they had nailed it, there was great celebration and jumping around and huge smiles. And even after Simone finished the floor exercise in which she rolled her eyes right in the middle of her routine. By the way, it was Taylor Swift music. It was a compilation of Taylor Swift, who apparently is a big fan of Team USA. When she was done, it was just a matter of waiting. Still a 5-point margin over second place Italy. That's how far ahead the American women were in securing the gold. And so, yeah, it was pretty amazing to see their smiles, their excitement, the parents and the fans, everybody who was crowded into that arena to watch them bring home the gold yet again after missing out in Tokyo.
I mean, we've all been through a lot. We all have our own stories to talk about. But most importantly, we got the job done. We're super excited to go and celebrate with our families. And we couldn't ask for any more from our performance tonight. We showed them that we can do it with the proper training, mentally and physically. Yeah, we did it.
I'm assuming that's an interview with NBC. Yeah, so afterwards with NBC.
Yeah, we did it.
And just the joy. Her husband did make it, so Bears safety Jonathan Owens was there. And my gosh, was it not so cute? He was keeping score. He's keeping track of her scores and of Team USA scores, which I thought was fun. It reminded me of what fans do in the stands when they're at baseball stadiums and they're keeping the scorecards. Well, he and her parents were both keeping score as they were there. And so, yeah, it wasn't easy. The fact that they had to navigate some falls here and there, some missteps. The thing is, they're so athletic and they're so powerful, not to mention artistic. Their routines are so much harder that they can't afford a few of these kind of missteps. And they had this margin for error, too, because they were so far out in front. But, yeah, it's tense and there's so much pressure to perform when you've got an arena like this, not to mention a global TV audience is kind of living and dying with all of it.
I mean, I feel like we came together today as a team really well, and we picked each other up, lifted each other up when we needed it. So it just felt amazing to be back out here, and this medal is absolutely insane. I literally cannot stop smiling, but yeah, it was so fun, and I'm so happy right now.
That's Suni Lee. So both Suni and Simone will compete in the individual all-around final.
Yeah, we did it.
Which comes up on Thursday. It's after hours with Amy Lawrence. So yeah, good stuff. And also they kept showing the men's team that was at it's kind of the USA watch party, which featured Shannon Miller, who used to hold the record for most Olympic medals by an American gymnast. Now that belongs to Simone with 8. But they were all together, and the men, they were cheering as well, still wearing their medals. I can imagine I wouldn't be taking them off. And right in the middle, so funny, whoever it was, it was someone from the gymnastics announcing team, pointed out that he's wearing his glasses. Well, yes, he needs to wear his glasses. I think he wears his glasses most of the time. There he is. He's the one in the glasses, Steven Nedorosic. So that was kind of fun. Jordan Childs, she was dynamic. They all call her bubbly, but man, she's so expressive, whether positive or negative. But after her incredible floor routine, she was over the moon.
Honestly, I think the biggest thing is just understanding each other as teammates and just going out there and doing what we know we can. And like she was saying, the repetitions, the practice, everything that we've done, we just trusted that. And now, you know, this is a medal of hard work and dedication. And this redemption tour was definitely golden, I can say.
This redemption tour. Now, you may have seen somewhere online that, how can I put this? A phrase from Simone Biles that actually did make it over the air. I heard it. Well,
yeah, we did it.
No, not that one. It was a phrase that was uttered within earshot of the microphones, and it has now become a type of viral nickname, if you will, for Team USA. Not one that I can repeat on the air. But if you look online, you'll find it. So
you can say it on the air, but you'll mess around and find out.
Right. We'll not be doing that. We'll not be messing around with my show. So, yeah, they have a tude. They have an edge. They have a chip on their shoulder. But you know what? If you can walk the walk, well, then it's okay to be able and talk to talk. And that's what Team USA is doing now. So congratulations to them. A lot of fun to watch. Really enjoyed it. And if you missed it, they're in the middle of rerunning it now on Big NBC, NBC over the air. All right, coming up, a little bit of Major League Baseball as well, because the trade deadline is now in the rearview mirror. Is there a red flag with Jack Flaherty? I'm going to ask Maurer Brown when he joins us at the top of the hour from Portland. But a sold-out crowd for Dodgers and Padres, one of the last games of the night that went into extra innings. Glad to have you with us. It's The Hump Show. We're going to put a spot up where you can send your questions for Ask Amy. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Marco Belletti.
Pitch on the way. Machado swings, hits it in the air, deep to left field. Teoscar Hernandez will watch, and it's gonna go! A long home run for Machado, his second of the night. Here's the pitch. Merrill swings, hits it in the air, deep to right field. Páez is back, he is at the wall, it's gonna go! Here's the pitch on the way. Solano swings, hits a ground ball, past the dive of Hernandez, down the left field line to win it! Kim scores, Solano walks it off, and the Padres come back from a 5-0 deficit to beat the Dodgers in 10.
Here's Amy Lawrence.
That is what the Padres needed on this Tuesday night with the trade deadline just faintly in the rearview mirror in front of a sold-out crowd. They have an opportunity to pick up a full game on the Dodgers in the standings, and that they do. But it certainly wasn't easy. It took extra innings, and it's a pinch hitter with a RBI single in the 10th as the Padres are able to rally back. Nearly 48,000 people at Petco Park, and this is now 8 wins in 10 games for the Fathers since the All-Star break. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Thanks for hanging out with us. We've got step 1 in our quest to allow you to ask Amy anything. There is a post now up on Twix at Amy After Hours, and I did read tweet, so it's there. You can find it there as well as on Facebook coming up very soon. And our phone number, if you want to speak to Manny directly, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Now, the bigger news before Padres and Dodgers actually got on the field is the fact that both made moves. And one was to grab, theoretically, the best pitcher available at the trade deadline, best starting pitcher available at the trade deadline in Jack Flaherty. And then you've got the Padres who add Tanner Scott to their bullpen. So we'll talk to Mari Brown at the top of the hour about these moves and get his reaction to them. He'll join us from Portland after tracking them all for Forbes. But Dave Roberts reacting to Jack Flaherty joining the Dodgers stable of pitchers. All right, we'll get to Dave Roberts coming up. So we'll have a chance to hear from him even before we get to Mari Brown at the top of the hour. And so that was one way in which the Padres were able to get kind of a last laugh, if you will. And if there truly is a red flag with Flaherty, then maybe there's something more to that. So Dave Roberts, I think we can get to Dave Roberts now, talking about the addition of Jack Flaherty to their roster.
Yeah, I think that we're going to get on the horn with them. So obviously it's not today. I just don't see us moving off of Clayton tomorrow. So then we have the off day. So I think, you know, come in here, get with the guys and potentially phone a pen, and I would assume Oakland.
Yeah, so not going to change what they've got coming up for Wednesday, which is Clayton Kershaw, his second start since he returned or since he made his debut. Remember, he had the surgery and they knew they were going to have to wait for him. But still, if you can get the kind of curveballs that he was throwing in his first outing, well, you're in good shape. And yeah, this is a guy that they feel like they can add to a rotation that had, until last week, one guy. Just one rookie, Gavin Stone, who was still standing from their opening day rotation. So they lost a bunch of other guys because of injuries. Now they're starting to get reinforcements. We talked about this last week. But if Flaherty can slot in, well, this is a big deal.
He is. He is. And I think the thing is that you look at the guys that were moved, across baseball, he's pretty much the top of the food chain as far as starters. So I think for what was out there, I think that we did a great job.
He's pretty much top of the food chain for starters. So definitely excited about what they got in Jack Flaherty. But again, is there a red flag? What happened that prevented the Yankees from making this move, since that's what they wanted to, that is kind of what we thought and we were going to wake up to, or I was going to wake up to on Tuesday afternoon. They were rumored to be the team that was in front or that was about to make that move, ended up not doing it. 855-212-4227. Richard is in Chula Vista, California. Welcome to After Hours.
Well, thank you. How you doing, Amy?
I'm good. Thank you, sir.
The last time we talked, we were talking about the youngest ball players, and I brought up Jackson Merrill from.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about the best and brightest athletes under 22 or under 24. Yeah.
And he kicked butt today. He tied the game with a home run.
Awesome.
And they wound up winning in Walker.
Mm-hmm.
But and then we ended with talking about I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. But anyway, what I want to say is I watched the American women's gymnastics team today.
Yeah.
And they did very well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, gold medals and everything. But like you were saying, there are some other celebrities out there in the audience,
yeah,
watching. But you said they were watching Simone Biles, and I thought they should be watching. I thought they were there for the whole team, just like me and all my friends were. We weren't there to watch Simone Biles. We were to watch everybody.
Well, you can't just watch Simone, right? So, of course, it's Team USA. However, she is the household name. And yes, Suni was amazing, and she's the reigning Olympic champion all around. Jordan Chiles, she got not just, let's see, I think a signed album from Beyonce as well as a text from Michael Jordan. So she is certainly popular as well because of her great personality and her skills. But of course, Simone is the one that it has been a household name going back to Rio, right? When she first captivated the world with her routines and kind of introduced herself to the gymnastics on the world stage. And of course, what happened in Tokyo when she bowed out 3 years ago with her mental health challenges. So all that to say, yes, of course, this was a team gold medal. Each of them get the gold medal. But she is the superstar. She is the one that people know, even if they're not sports fans.
Well, right, like you say, right now, and everybody's talking about LeBron James, basketball, but there's other guys on that team too. You know, it's not, it doesn't seem like it's fair, but I'm not going to complain. But I like talking to you. You're a very good announcer, and you have a good show.
I appreciate that, Richard, and you are right. This is a team gold medal. I dare say, though, for Steph Curry, if he wins his first ever gold medal and making his Olympic debut, he couldn't care less how much attention LeBron gets. I mean, these guys are all superstars in their own rights for their various teams. So, I think if it takes LeBron getting all the attention for them to win the gold, then they're just fine with that.
Yeah, well, I remember non-professional sport.
Right.
You know, you had to be an amateur.
Yeah, not anymore. Thank you, sir.
And don't forget about little Kelly Strug. That girl.
No.
With,
talked about her last
ankle.
Night. Yeah, well, on her ankle with the 1996 Atlanta Games and the gold medal for Team USA then. Kind of compared her moment to Steven Nedorosic. So we're going to talk baseball next, though. Trade deadline and the latest moves. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.